Welcome to the Tunnel 7 podcast. This show is for clients, potential clients, and really anyone who is interested in making better decisions about their website. My name is Derek Allard, and I am a freelance website designer based here in lovely East Hampton, Massachusetts. In each episode, I cover exactly one topic related to website design and explore it to provide insight, direction, and hopefully even some entertainment for my listening audience. I also have the soon-to-be-famous Tunnel 7 Q&A, where I answer your questions. If you would like to send a question to be answered on the show, you can do so anytime at tunnel7.com/podcast and complete the Have a Question form. So we have made it to episode 7, and today on the show I will be discussing website analytics. That will be in the feature portion. And for those of you who have no idea what website analytics are or have heard the term but aren't really certain how they benefit you, this, you're going to want to stay tuned. This is the show for you. I personally think website analytics are integral to any website project, and I will tell you why when we get there. Also, we have a couple of questions. As usual, we have actually three. We always max it out at three. Three questions that have been sent in from you folks out there in the listening audience. One person was asking about my thoughts on Flash-based websites, and we'll be talking about that. And we also have a little history lesson. There's a question here regarding what the first website was, so stay tuned. That's coming up as well. And as always, at this point of the show, I like to recap things that are going on here at Tunnel 7. And it's been a weird, I did take some time off at the end of the year, which corresponds roughly to the time that this podcast has been delayed. I'm about a week behind my self-imposed schedule. People out there probably don't really care, do they? You don't care that it's a little late. You probably didn't even know it was late. If I didn't say anything, you wouldn't know. Anyway, the last month, since the last time that I recorded this show, I did go live with the project I've been mentioning the last couple months for usehasis.com. It's a website geared around a community of people who use a very specific software that is used by the FEMA, the federal agency, for disaster simulation. And that was a bigger project for me, and it was a lot of fun to work on. It is now live, usehasis.com. And with it, I moved it to all Expression Engine. It was a site I'd built a couple years ago, and we had a lot of new requirements that came in, and Expression Engine was great. The client can now edit the website directly, add events to an event calendar that's there. Also has a wiki and a forum, member registration, user profile, lots of bells and whistles compared to some of the other sites that I've done. A lot of fun to work on. Learned a lot along the way, as I always do on any project. And so it was a lot of fun. It's out there. It's live. Check it out. What else? I have three new projects that I've picked up since last time. Two are smaller. One is kind of more of a realigning for an existing client's website that should be wrapped up this week. Also is a new project for a business based in New York City that I'm working in conjunction with an ad agency locally. So this is the first kind of larger project we've worked on together. And we're kind of, it's interesting to see how that dynamic works on a given project. Because you know, everyone has their input. We're kind of adding a layer to things. But this group that I'm working with has been very, very fun to work with. And the client's very fun to work with. So it's making things easy. I'm always concerned about how things are going to go. But they're going very well with this project. The other things that I'm doing, I've been getting a lot more requests for marketing and search optimization, Google AdWords, things like this. And I'm guessing that this is a reflection of the economy right now with everything being down. People are looking, I think, to maximize more of what they get out of their website. So I've actually taken on a few projects in that vein, helping people. It's websites that really I didn't design. I'm more just kind of inheriting. And I'm looking to better their website using analytics, which we're going to be talking about, and then giving them options for marketing. There's lots of different things you can do. And so, yeah, these are fun. This is a little different. I tend to focus more on the web design, which I still is my bread and butter, but this is more scientific, and it's interesting to me that way, focusing on a return on investment more, which is great, and I think we'll be seeing more results on that. So I'll talk to you more about that in coming months. What else? Just going through my notes. Bear with me. There's a couple of RFPs that came in last week that I'm looking at. They look promising, so we'll see. Hopefully be working on those in the coming year. And also meeting with an existing client who I've done work for in the past tomorrow about a new project for them. So it's funny. You know, last month I was starting to freak out because it was getting very quiet, especially around that last week in December, which I just took off. It worked out pretty well. But since the first of the year, my goodness, it's been crazy. All right, so that's what's going on, and now let's go to the Q&A. Okay, for the Q&A, we have three questions that have been sent in by visitors, users, friends, maybe enemies, I don't know. So the first question, this comes from Samantha, actually in the United Kingdom. Okay, her question, what are your thoughts on Flash being used on a website? Well, it's a good question. Personally, my focus being on standards-based design, Flash is a non-standard technology. It has never been adopted by the W3C as a technology to be used on the web. However, having said that, I will acknowledge that it is on many, many websites, including those of, you know, studios that do focus on standards design as well. Last week, I actually wrote a blog post about things you can do to improve your search engine effectiveness for your website. And one of the things I mentioned was avoiding Flash. And I did get a couple of emails from people saying, oh, Flash, you can be read. You know, it's not that bad, blah, 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 blah. And they're right. I mean, to a certain degree, Flash, when used as an accent, okay, I'll give you that. You know, there is some reason to use it as long as it's not mucking up the accessibility factor of a website. However, in that article that I wrote, what I was talking about was really websites that are entirely Flash-based. I don't think that's a good way to go ever. Even if search engines can read the text better, that's fine. Okay, even if that's true, which I'm not convinced, and nothing that I've read convinces me that all that text can be read, you're creating a lot of accessibility issues for your users. I don't think that's a very smart way to go for any website. So yes, Flash can be very pretty and moving and animations, but you know, study after study shows, you know, those Flash-based websites are very frustrating to people. They don't want to sit through an intro and all that stuff. So Flash as the sole basis of a website, no, I'm never going to buy into that. That's just, I don't think that's the way to go. Flash uses an accent for a little widget, something of that nature, an ad. Okay, fine. That's fine. I'll concede that. I do tend to stay away from it though, simply because it isn't a standard. It's a proprietary technology, and that's always something that should be kept in mind. And all you angry Flash developers can email me if you would like. Okay, so that's question one. Thank you very much, Samantha, in the United Kingdom. Okay, the second question is much more local. It comes from Pat here in East Hampton, and he writes, what was the first website? Very good question. It's a little history lesson, but it's always interesting. The website, the father of the website, the man who is credited with inventing basically the internet and websites and all the good stuff that has followed, his name is Timothy Berners-Lee, and he is credited with having the first website, which was published, what did I have here? It was in 1991. And if you go to Google and you type in first website, you'll actually get a historical little thing that you can click on and see what it was. It's nothing fancy. It's just a white background, black text, and blue links. You know, very traditional, old school web page. And that's the first website. He was credited. He worked for an organization called CERN, and he built that website for CERN. And CERN is actually the European Organization for Nuclear Research. And it was never intended to sell sneakers and all that. It was more just informational. And the markup language is very simple. It's still very simple, but over time we've added a lot of bells and whistles to it. But it's in terms of history, 1991, Tim Berners-Lee is the first website. Check it out. Okay, so thank you, Pat. And the third and final question, this comes from Theodore in Holyoke. He writes, is custom website design expensive? Is it for individuals, small corporations? Or are we talking a significant capital investment? Very good question, and it's a question that I get asked all the time. I'll get a request from email or somebody filling out my form on the website and asking, you know, I just want a quote on a website. Okay. What I always tell those people and what I will tell Theodore is that a website will range widely on the requirements of the project. And I'm not trying to be elusive. It's much more simply that if the website is strictly informational and it has 5 pages and that's it, your costs are going to be much more minimal. If you want a website with a lot of bells and whistles and member logins and password protection and forums and all these kinds of things, it's going to take more time, which equates to more costs, and it goes up from there. A capital expense, nothing that I do. I tend to work much more with small businesses, small to mid-sized businesses and organizations. Capital expense, I'm thinking, you know, $100,000. I don't do anything that advanced that does that. I've been involved in projects that have been much more of the capital expense, but it's more I'm being a part or playing a role in that project. So for me, you know, the range is definitely not a capital expense. I do work with many small businesses, small organizations, even individuals I've worked with and who want to create a blog or something of that nature. So yeah, it's not a capital expense. It can be done. And the advantage to the end user, the client, is that you have somebody that works on this every day that knows what he is doing and knows the pros and cons of website decisions along the way. So Theodore, that is those are my thoughts on website pricing. And that's it. That's all for the Q&A. Thank you to Samantha in the United Kingdom, to Pat in East Hampton, and to Theodore in Holyoke. And if you are interested in having your question answered during an upcoming show, like I mentioned, go to tunnel7.com/podcast and complete the Have a Question form. And if I use your question on the show, you will receive, well, at the moment, nothing, but you will be mentioned, and that's worth something, is it not? Okay, so let's go onwards to our feature. All right, the feature today, I am going to be talking about website analytics. For those of you just joining us, over these opening episodes of the Tunnel 7 podcast, I've been exploring the different components that go into building a successful website. Now, if you've missed any of these episodes, I encourage you to check them out at the podcast page at tunnel7.com. And as I mentioned previously, building a website is like building a house. A website project is built layer upon layer, and each layer is very important and builds upon the other. A weakness in any component will cause the finished product to suffer. Today, the final component we talk about is analytics. So what the heck are website analytics? Well, I'm glad you asked. Wikipedia defines website analytics as follows. Web analytics is the measurement, collection, analysis, and reporting of internet data for purposes of understanding and optimizing website usage. Well said, Wikipedia. Understanding and optimizing website usage. That is the power of website analytics. Unlike traditional print media, websites offer a unique opportunity to analyze your users' actions on your website on a very granular level. Where are your users coming from? How much traffic did your last marketing campaign bring in? How much of that traffic did you convert into customers or clients? The answers to these and many more questions can be found using website analytics. All of this information can then be used to optimize your website. To me, this is the most important part of website analytics, the ability to use concrete, objective data to drive any adjustments that are made to your website. Now, there are a number of website analytics packages available, ranging in price anywhere from free to very expensive. In recent years, Google Analytics has become very popular, in part because it is free, and also because it provides excellent data. I will say that it has become a very good choice for myself and a number of my clients. However, there are a number of other options available. The key isn't so much what software you select, but that you review the information produced and use it to your benefit. Now let's start with a real-world example of website analytics in action. Okay, so we've determined that website analytics are important because it gives us concrete data about our website that can then be used to improve it. But how exactly is that done? Well, let me give you this real-world example. On my website, one of the goals I have is to generate leads from the form on my contact page. Using analytics software, every week I review how well I'm meeting that goal. Are my users getting to the contact page? Are they completing the form? If not, why? Where are they going? Where are they coming from? I look at all of this information, and from it I make incremental changes to my website to increase the number of folks who complete this form. Now, those changes need not be terribly significant. It may be simply reorganizing some content. It may be moving a button further up on the page. Whatever the changes are, I will then examine my analytics data next time and see if they've helped or hurt me in meeting my goals. Without this data, I'd just be guessing. Let me repeat that. Without this data, I would just be guessing. My advice, never guess. Think of website analytics as a bathroom scale. If you want to know exactly how much you weighed, a scale would do that for you. Well, if you want to know exactly how well your website is performing, analytics is the scale your website would step on to get that answer. Okay, you've made your point. Website analytics are important. I get it. Now, what the heck should I look at? Well, in a recent post on my blog, I wrote about the 7 things you should know about your website. Those 7 things that analytics can tell you were, first, how many visitors your website receives. This is an excellent starting point. Sure, you've built a great website, but unfortunately, just because it's on the internet doesn't mean anyone will come. Knowing how many visitors your website gets is essential to determining the effort that should be put into driving more traffic to your website. 2, what is the most popular page of your website other than the home page? The great thing about analyzing website traffic is that it can tell you what your visitors are finding useful on your website. Knowing your most popular page will tell you where you should be concentrating your development efforts, or where you may want to put an announcement for that new service you offer. And in this example, I rule out the homepage simply because it tends to be the most popular page by default. 3, what is the bounce rate on your website? So when someone lands on your website and leaves it immediately, this is called a bounce. Obviously, not a good thing. A bounce rate is a percentage of total users who bounce. Your website should be inviting and offer visitors enough choices to draw them further into the website rather than bounce them away. A high bounce rate is a red flag that your website is not very effective. 4, what is the average time spent on your website? People tend to move quickly on a website, but if your visitors are spending 30 seconds on your website, it clearly isn't doing you any favors. I tend to look at average time and bounce rate in tandem, as they usually go hand in hand. When it comes to this metric, the more time spent on your website, the better. 5, where does your traffic come from? Does most of your website traffic come from search engines? Does it come from links from other websites? Does it come from people directly entering your website address in their browsers? Knowing this information is critical, as it will show you which marketing efforts are working, which are not, and this will guide your marketing efforts going forward. 6, what page do most people exit your website from? If a high majority of your visitors are leaving your website from the same page, chances are there is something on that page that is turning them off. It could be the page content or a form that isn't working properly. Identifying top exit pages often identifies problems visitors are experiencing with your website. And once identified, they can be corrected. And the last thing, number 7, how well is your website meeting your goals? A website is an extension of your business. Frequently, it is the first impression as well. Do you have goals for your website? Do you track those goals with your analytics software? You can, and you should. By doing so, you will see how often the website meets your goals and in guiding your visitors to a desired result. So in conclusion, while website analytics don't play a direct role in the building of a website in the way information architecture or content writing or coding or visual design do, it is a no less critical part of building a successful website, particularly given the current economic climate. Website analytics software will collect valuable data about your visitors and show you how well your website is performing. It will also give you concrete objective data about what is working and what is not working on your website, which will then give you a direction to make adjustments that will increase the effectiveness of your website. Using website analytics, your website will get away from being something that simply looks good to something that acts as an integral part of your business by driving your users to complete desired actions. Without analytics in place, decisions you make about your website will be made on a subjective guesswork basis. Don't fall into this trap. Put analytics to work for you today. And that concludes this month's feature on website analytics. And that also concludes this episode of the Tunnel 7 podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show and are a little more knowledgeable than you were before we started. Now, on the next episode, as I just mentioned, this is the final episode in this opening series about what goes into building a successful website. So the first 7 episodes, these are all the things you should think about when building a website. Starting next month with episode 8, we're going to go off to different, they'll be related to websites, but different areas. Next month, we're going to be talking about website marketing. I'm not sure if it's going to be all about website marketing or if I'm going to focus on a particular niche like HTML email or AdWords or something like that. But that's the direction we're going to go starting next month. And as always, the Tunnel 7 podcast is sponsored by absolutely nobody. But should you feel a desire to send cash, I have no problem mentioning you here. This episode and every episode is recorded in the Tunnel 7 studio with an Audio-Technica AT2020 microphone and the Alesis Multimix 8 USB mixer using the lovely free functional Audacity software. The song, Sun Is Out, by The Wig Report is used for both the intro and outro music. For more about The Wig Report, go to myspace.com/TheWigReport with 2 G's in wig. For more about me or Tunnel 7, or if you have a question you would like answered on the show, you can visit tunnel7.com at any time, day or night, weekday or weekend, because, after all, that is the beauty of the internet. Thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy!